As we continue our study together, Acts 16, it's exciting. Missions is exciting. And we see Paul taking the gospel out into the world, places that have not heard of Jesus Christ, not yet heard of forgiveness of sins. And here we see the gospel expanding and spreading out. And this morning we'll be in Acts 16, let's see, verse 6 through 15. We talk about God's guidance. God may change your plans. This has happened to me more than once in my life. I told you before about our missions team in 2011. In fact, Jeff and Susan Cumberland are here, and Pastor Matt, their son, was part of that missions team. We had planned for about a year to go to the Caribbean, to go to the island of St. Vincent and minister doing vacation Bible school with children down there. It's hard to raise money for a Caribbean missions trip. but we did. And so we had this pretty good sized team. And the only problem was, it was a problem and it was a blessing. I was in charge of paying for the tickets. And so I reserved the tickets, the airplane tickets, but I said, well, I'm not going to pay for them right away. I'll pay for them later. And I don't know why. I don't remember why I did that. But when later I went back and I said, I'd like to pay for the tickets that we've purchased, I said, oh, only some of them still remain. I think only 8 of those tickets. And so you can buy those, but that's all we have left. So I paid for 8 tickets. And I said, no problem, we have plenty of time. So I made other reservations on a different airline for the rest of our team. So the morning of the trip, we're all excited. We're going to the Caribbean. There's adults, there's teenagers going. We're going to go minister, serve the Lord. We got an email from Delta Airlines, and they said, your flight has been canceled. We apologize for any inconvenience. And that was the email. So we spent all morning trying to get that other reservation to get our group. So the Cumberlands, they were the 8. Their family was the ones, they were on the same flight together. So we said, you guys just go, and we'll meet you down there. We'll meet you in the Caribbean. We never got there. The Cumberlands went, they ministered, and there's a whole long story about how God worked. So here we are, the other half of our missions team, with no mission location. And so the Cumberlands and their group went to the Caribbean. We went to Iowa. And why is that funny? That's not those poor Iowans. But we went. God had a different mission for us. God had a plan, and he directed us to go to Iowa and work with a pastor that turns out needed some encouragement and needed some kids slopping paint on their side of their building for a week. Needed that encouragement. Now, we didn't know. We were frustrated because we don't like it when God changes our plans. But he can, and he does. God allowed a struggle for both of our teams, and yet he blessed both of those teams. So I have 2 points this morning, and my 2 points are my statement to you from this text. Here it is. God may change your plans so he can change someone's life. And I think we'll see that in this text. God may change your plans so he can change someone's life. Okay, so let's look at this together in verse 6. And they went through the region. And I had Pastor Matt read these words. He's so good at the reading the scriptures. And I didn't even prepare him. Pastor Matt and Sarah were at Camp Barakel this last week, preaching and teaching down there. And I didn't tell him exactly, hey, be ready for these words. But anyway, great job. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Here's a map. So, just a quick, Paul wanted to go, Paul's here, he wants to go up here, and the Lord says, no, you're not going up there, okay? And later, he'll want to go down this way, and the Lord says, not yet. And they're not going down there yet, not going to Ephesus yet. So Paul wants to go here, he wants to go here, and God says, no, you're going this way. You're going to Troas, and then you're going up to Philippi. And that's where our text will be today. The Holy Spirit forbids them to speak the word in Asia. God will send someone else there. He has a different plan for Paul. So in verse 7, when they came to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them there. So Paul said, well, I'm just trying to serve you. I want to take the gospel to as many people as I can. I think I'll go this way. And the Lord says, no, that's not my plan for you. Okay, how about we go this way? And the Lord says, no. He has a plan for each of us, a specific plan. Here we have a mystery of how Jesus was working through the Holy Spirit, but we see the three members of the Trinity in these first few verses. Pretty neat. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, and we'll see in a little bit that God does call them in verse 10. But what happens? He's looking to take the gospel. He has the right heart, the right desire to serve the Lord and share the good news, but God is the one who's in charge of this. My mentor, Pastor Dave, he says God is the great dispatcher. He's the great dispatcher. He sends his people to where he would have them to go. And so Paul has a vision in verse 9, a man of Macedonia. Okay, let's see. So this here is Greece. This is Turkey. This is Greece. And Macedonia, they called it. So that's the region. Here's this man from Macedonia. He was standing there urging him. He's calling to Paul, saying, come to Macedonia and help us. And he's not asking for physical aid. He's asking for spiritual help. That's the help that they're asking for. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. So this is their missions team. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Luke is the author of Acts, and right here he says, we went. And so Luke joins them, the doctor. Luke, it's good to have a doctor if you go on a missions trip, I think. And so Luke goes with them, and they are going to Macedonia, concluding, this is the end of verse 10, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And this is what they depended on. God's calling them to a specific place, a specific people. Paul is eager to preach the gospel, he said. He wants to go where the name of Jesus is not yet known so he can tell others how to be saved. He thought he was supposed to go to Asia. That's what he wanted to do. Or Bithynia. But God had somewhere else in mind. God may change your plans so he can change someone else's life. God may close the doors. This is what he does for Paul. Have you ever had God close a door? Thank him for that. Thank him for that. If God, you had this plan, this desire, and God closed the door, just say, Lord, thank you. You didn't want me. That wasn't what was the right thing for me. Show me what is the right thing. Guide me to what is the right place, the right decision. And he will. Ask him, is it open the door or close the door? The hard thing for us is to be ready to do whatever. It's hard to be in neutral with your will, because we get our will going in a direction, and God may say, I'm going to close that because I have something here for you that's better. You don't know it yet, but it'll be better. But when you get a clear direction from the Lord, you go for it. You go for it. So back to our outline. God may change your plans. He changes Paul's plan here, but he's going to do that so he can change someone's life. So verse 11, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage. They sailed straight to Samothrace, which is a mountainous island there in the Mediterranean. And the following day, they landed at Neapolis, and from there, Philippi, 10 miles to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, Luke adds. What does this mean? So Philippi is a colony, a city that has Roman citizenship. They were there, they helped the Augustus, Caesar Augustus, before he was Caesar, and he was out in the battlefield. They helped him, and he won the victory. And so Caesar, when he came to power, he said, Philippi, you're a special place. And I'm going to give you Roman citizenship, which meant you have protections, which means you don't pay taxes. That was a benefit. They would send retired Roman soldiers to Philippi. They would give them land so they could settle. So you have some muscle, right? You have some battle experience. You have some protection from the different tribes and places around you. So Philippi, listen, they were big, big emperor fans. They were big fans of the Roman emperor because of the gifts and blessings that he had given. They thought of Caesar as Savior and Lord. They worshiped Caesar. And into that city comes Paul and his friends to tell them only Jesus is Savior and Lord. But they've come to Philippi with that message. When you think about Philippi, it's a city that's ruled by Rome. And remember, Rome rules over Israel. And so in a sense, Rome and the Romans are enemies of God's people. And maybe Paul, in his heart, was hesitant about going to a place like that. But the gospel is for everyone. Did you know that God loved you while you were still a sinner? While you were the enemy of God, Christ died for you? I mean, that's the good news. This is what Paul, he's bringing the good news to the enemies of Israel, that they might be reconciled to God through Jesus. So we remained in this city some days. They're waiting. They're waiting for the opportunity for God to open the door. Patience. God has you right where he wants you, but sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to be patient for him to turn all the tumblers and open the door. So verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer where those observing the Jewish Sabbath would be. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. They saw an opportunity. Here's some Jewish believers, and he's got the Jewish scriptures and the Jewish Messiah, and he's coming with the gospel. And so we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. Verse 14, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. A couple observations I'll point out to you. In the vision that Paul saw, there was a man of Macedonia who said, come help us. Here, there's a woman in Macedonia, because the gospel is for everyone. The gospel is for men. The gospel is for women. There's this even playing field, even ground, that God says all must be saved. Men, women, it's not, you know, one's elevated over the other. It's here. The gospel is for men and for women. Her name is Lydia. She's from Thyatira, which is famous for this purple dye. And purple was very valuable, that dye. The wealthy people wanted purple clothes because it represents royalty. And so wealthy people, it was a good business. And it seems that Lydia was a pretty successful businesswoman. She was also a worshiper of God. So that means she was part of the Jewish synagogue, part of the Jewish faith, like in Acts chapter 10, like Cornelius. Cornelius, remember him? He was a Roman soldier, but he was seeking God, and God sent a missionary to him. God sent Peter to him, and he believed, and his household believed. Here we have a woman seeking the Lord, and she needs to hear about Jesus. And so Paul comes and tells her. There's no mention made of Lydia's husband, and so perhaps she was single or widowed. But whatever the case, she was a businesswoman. She was apparently successful, as she has the resources to house and provide for this missions team. We'll see that at the end of our text. I don't think she needed help with her business. She wasn't looking for advice on marketing or investing or dye, purple dye. What she wanted to know about was Jesus, the Son of God. She wanted to know about the Messiah. And Paul tells her the good news. She didn't trust in her success in business. She knew she needed to be saved. And so Paul and his friends, they come with the gospel message, and they make the application from the Old Testament, I'm sure, to Jesus dying on the cross and fulfilling all of that. And I bet Paul, being as smart and as trained as he was, he gave a great explanation of the gospel. But you know that Paul never saved anyone. And you and I will never save anyone. No matter how good we are at presenting the gospel, or how careful we package it and present it. Because look what happens. The Lord opened her heart. Salvation is God's work. It's God's business. He's guiding you. He may change your plans so he can change someone's life. And that's happening right here in front of us. That's happening in Lydia's heart. The Lord opened her heart. To pay attention. In this context, pay attention has an idea of devoting oneself, of committing oneself to what was said by Paul. But you see the work of God in missions. He directed his missionaries right where he wanted them to be. And then he works through what the missionaries say to open someone's heart. But it's God's work that does it. That's good news. It's good news that God is the one that's responsible. We're not. We just tell the message. We give the track. We invite someone to church or to a special event. That's what we do. But we can't save anybody. We can't. But God can. And he loves to save people. He loves to save sinners. It's why missions works. Because God is in this business of saving people around the world, just like you. Do you remember when God opened your heart to believe? I remember being 10 years old, and I took a gospel tract out to the backyard, and I read that tract, and I said, do I believe this? Do I believe that I'm a sinner? And I was 10 years old, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. Jesus died and he rose again. And I thought about that as a 10-year-old. I believe that Jesus died on a cross. Did I believe that he rose again? Because that's a miracle. But this is what I thought. If God could create everything, if he could create maple trees and deer and fish and birds, if he could create everything, he could bring a man back from the dead. If he could give life, he could restore life, and I believe. So I admitted that I was a sinner, and I believed that Jesus died for me, and he rose again, and I called on him to be my Savior. And it's all I wanted to do. I couldn't wait to get back home, because I remember I had that little gospel tract. I couldn't wait to get home and get in the backyard and do business with God. I couldn't wait. Do you remember when you accepted Christ? We couldn't stop you from calling on his name. That's why I think with our children, let God work in their heart. Let God work. I remember when one of my daughters, Michelle, came to me and she said, our daughter wants to be saved. She was very young, very young. And I said, so I talked to her, I said, do you want to be saved? And she said, yep. I said, do you want to be saved or do you want a cheeseburger? And she said, cheeseburger. Now, maybe that makes you a little uncomfortable. Maybe you would say, well, no, get her to pray the prayer. But praying a prayer doesn't save someone. If God is working in their heart, you can't stop them from being saved. They want to call on the name of the Lord because it's God's work. Because he's opening their heart. So we had a cheeseburger. And a little time later, it might have been a year later, Michelle says, so she wants to be saved. So I talked to her, said, you want to be saved? She says, yes. Or, you know, a cheeseburger, ice cream, something else. She goes, no, I want to be saved. There was no stopping her. You don't have to twist someone's arm. We don't have to trick them or bribe them. When God opens a heart, he's going to save. And then it's cool. And then it's awesome. And then you're saying, I didn't save them. God saved them. And this is what happens to Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. Paul did the speaking. That's our role. Telling these women the story of Jesus. He's the Christ and he is the Lord. He died and he rose again to save all who believe on his name. And she heard that and there was something inside of her that responded. And that something inside of her is God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's this work of new birth and regeneration and faith. And it's undeniable. And it's God who does it. And I love to see how the writer here of Acts, the Lord opened her heart. And then what did she do next? She was baptized. Now, being baptized didn't save her, right? Getting some water on you never saved anybody. Her faith saved her. She became a devoted follower to Christ. And so she said, I want to be baptized. I want people to know who I believe. I want people to know that I'm a follower of Jesus. And as he was buried in the tomb and raised again, we picture that in the water of baptism. It just, you're showing the world the gospel when you get baptized. You're declaring the gospel. You're witnessing yourself to be under the water and back up. It was pretty neat. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Matt got to baptize some kids from this church. And the baptistry, it wasn't working. Now I believe it's fixed now. We think so. We're going to give it another try. But if not, we can always go to Burt Lake, and you can be baptized there, which is pretty neat. Now, not everybody feels comfortable being baptized in the lake. So if you want to, tell you what, we can have maybe Luke and Kevin hold the bucket underneath the baptistry. If we need to catch any water, it'll be fine. But if you need to be baptized, you say, I've trusted Christ, but I've never been baptized, then I would say, talk to Pastor Matt about that and get baptized and proclaim the gospel and invite your family. Invite someone, say, I'm going to be baptized. Do you want to be there for the service? Lydia, she was baptized. It showed her faith and her household as well. That they, in the New Testament, we always see baptism come after faith. They're baptized. And she urged us, saying, if you have judged me, if you've considered the evidence of my testimony to be faithful, if you consider me to be a person of faith in the Lord, come to my house and stay. You know what's neat about this? Okay, here's this lady from Macedonia. We don't know much about her before that. But she is acting just like people of the first church. In Acts chapter 2, the first church, the people get saved, they repent, they turn from their sin to Jesus, and they're baptized. And then what? Then in Acts chapter 2, it says they had all things common. They shared with each other. Some people were more, just had more wealth or more means, and other people were struggling. And the church is for everyone. And so the people who had extra gave and met the needs of the others. They shared with what they shared what they had. It's a sign of love. It's a sign of faith that God's working in you and you want to help others. You want to be a blessing. And right away we see this with Lydia. She says, come if you feel that me to be a person of faith. It's sort of like if when you interview for church membership. And the pastor, the deacons, they're going to ask you, well, tell us how you became a Christian. Tell us about your faith. Well, this is what Lydia is doing. If you've looked at my life and you feel like I'm truly a born again, I'm a person of faith, come stay. Let me take care of you. She must have been excited. Wouldn't you be? She's excited, and she wants to be a blessing to these missionaries who've traveled so far, and it's been dangerous. And it's risky. And they could be doing other things. They could be doing other jobs, other businesses. But no, they want to bring the gospel to some ladies by the riverside outside of Philippi. And a church is born. There's a church at Philippi. We get a letter in the New Testament to that church of Philippi. And what does Paul say in chapter 4? He says, no church has taken care of me like you guys. No church has loved and provided for my needs as Philippi, the Philippians. And that all started with some ladies who went out to pray, and they gave their hearts to Jesus. Actually, the Lord opened their hearts that they might be saved. And so here she says, come to my house and stay. And then I like this last sentence, and she prevailed upon us, which means she talked us into it. I don't think she had to twist their arm either. You know, she was excited. In the vision, a man of Macedonia invited them to come and help. Here, a woman of Macedonia invites them to come and stay. These servants of the Lord, they obeyed his call, and God provided for their needs. God provided for their needs through this new Christian, a generous new Christian. God may change your plans. Has God ever changed your plan? And maybe I should ask this question. What if God did change your plan? Are you surrendered to him, to his will? That if he changes your plan, I'm not saying it'll be easy, but you would say yes to what God is doing, because he will lead you. He can keep you right where you are, and he wants you to be faithful to serve him right where you are, or he may lead you, have a different plan for you. God may change your plan to change someone else's life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that you are God, that you are sovereign, that you know the end from the beginning, that you guide us by your Spirit. Father, I praise you for the privilege that it has been for me to serve you here with Indian River Baptist Church. I'm so thankful for the believers here, so thankful for friendships and the help, the blessing that the church has been to me, to my family. I pray for Pastor Matt and for Sarah as they begin to lead in this new capacity. I pray for your wisdom and guidance and for the church to support and to love one another and to grow in your grace. I pray that you would continue to lead this church, to present the gospel, to build up believers, to support missionaries, all for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we praise you in his name. Amen. Would you stand together and we will sing a closing song.